So, welcome to the Saturday afternoon meditation. And yesterday I heard it said a beginner's class now. Okay. So how many beginners do we have here? People who haven't meditated before? Ah, they're next door. So they're all old hands here. Good. So please make yourself comfortable. Oh, do we? Okay, thanks. Okay, so the form I heard is that I talk a few minutes about meditation. Nice thing to contemplate is always, why do I meditate in the first place? Huh? And that is also the trouble for the guys sitting here, that you all come from a different background, you all have different motivations. Why are you coming here? Huh? One person wants to get enlightened today, and the other one just has a bit of pain here and there, tries to ease the pain. Another one feels stress and thinks meditation can help with that. And the one who wants to get enlightened today is going to be in trouble. It's not going to happen. But to alleviate a bit of stress, I hope we can do that today. But it depends on our own mind state. Hmm? If we go into the meditation with a lot of expectations already, then we set ourselves up for trouble. So last time I read that in the Sutta class, it says, neither pleasant nor unpleasant feeling. This feeling where we're hardly ever aware of, this neutral feeling. And the Buddha said, being aware of that feeling is happiness. Being not aware of that is suffering. Huh? So how often do we have that possibility maybe to sit down here now and look a little bit into the body and calm down a little bit in the mind and see, wow, it's actually quite all right. It's not so bad. It's not great pleasure there, but there's also no great pain. And just becoming more and more aware of that good enough. It's quite nice the way it is already. Huh? It's neither pleasant nor painful. Becoming more and more aware of that. And that's a very skillful means just to take the edge of that expectation. If you meditate for a long time, it's so easy to get into that groove that we want to get something out of that. Huh? Or we had a nice meditation and we want to go back there where we were before. And we suffocate the possibility already in that moment to deal with that what is happening now to us in our body. Maybe the body is not as fit as it was last time. Maybe the mind is more agitated than it was the last time. Huh? Or maybe the mind is calmer than it was the last time, and we have that prejudice that the meditation is not going to work out anyway. So the classic was the Zen mind, beginner's mind, huh? And so we always start from zero, huh? Always have to go back to the very beginning each time we meditate again. And if one manages that, to keep the expectation down, but also not to get into that, yeah, I've done that before. Keeping the interest up and a little bit of joy from the very beginning, this kindness, interest towards what we're doing here, then that's the best start we can possibly have. One very important thing is, I don't know if everybody is used to sit for an hour. If you get pain in the body, you're not comfortable in your position anymore, please don't just keep sitting. You can go outside, it's still a beautiful day, do a little bit of walking meditation. If you're getting pain, don't get into this I have to sit now. If you feel too agitated, use it as a part of the kindness of your meditation that you know it's not working so well. Maybe I have too much pain today in my body. Well, you can get up, and the only thing I would like you to do is, out of an act of kindness, is be as quiet as you can when you go outside. Make that an act of kindness to make very little noise when you have to go outside. No? Not to disturb anybody else. But have that kindness towards yourself that you know there's too much pain, or I'm too agitated. It's also part of looking after your own mind, because an hour can be long for some people, if you're only used to half an hour normally, or shorter. So let's just start now, and I'm going to guide you a little bit through it, and then I'm probably going to have the 15 minutes over, and then I'm going to be quiet, that the people who come here for a long time don't get fed up with me, that I don't stop yapping. Make sure that is a position that I know I'm going to be comfortable in for some time, for the longest possible time. And put some effort into that right here and now to make sure that you can breathe easily. Is your button open at your belly? Can the stomach move? We start from the very beginning with that kindness. We don't want to hurt that body. I make sure I sit in a way that the body is not going to get harmed. It's not going to be 100% comfortable, but it's not going to be in pain. Please check your please check your shoulders. That's where we hold a lot of tension. Shoulders and neck. And just deep breath in, and then can let go of all that tension. We can reflect a little bit and just wish ourselves well. May I be well and happy. May I enjoy that hour where I have nothing to do. May I enjoy this hour where I have no expectations. May I be kind and patient with my thoughts. May the mind experience such a soft, happy state that the thoughts want to slow down all by themselves. Because that kindness is just so much more interesting than the inner monologue. How beautiful if I can treat myself so kind. How beautiful when I can radiate that outwards later and share that with other people. I have kindness towards the people who have forgotten to switch their cell phones off. I have kindness towards the people who lost their muffler. And if you become aware of your own attitude right now, in this moment, I hope that it's such an attitude that you really like to hang out with that guy or that girl. So pleasant and undemanding. Uncritical and easygoing. Just appreciates this. Neither pleasant nor unpleasantness, this neutrality. Sitting. The mind is just allowed to get more and more quiet. And we just stay with it. Beauty of a kind mind. And just this acceptance in each and every second of whatever comes up. It's welcome. only a few minutes left. And one question we can ask ourselves is, would I be happy to die in that mind state I have right here and now? Is that good enough? And if not, why not? I'm going to ring the bell 3 times and then we end our meditation session for today. Thank you. You talked about the pleasant and not unpleasant state that we need to have. We need to have, but inclining the mind to a pleasant state. If I don't have any blissful state, is that the middle way? Every time I read a sutta, listen to a Dhamma talk, or meditate, I feel inspired and uplifted. When I go back into doing worldly things, it's like a shock. For a while I was in an utopic world, and then I fall into the dukkha realm. So is meditation a means to mount our mind to stay in a neutral state? Well, obviously, I find that is a positive thing. If the mind, if you manage to get your mind so peaceful in the meditation that you that it's a state you appreciate already, and getting back into the outside world seems almost like a burden with its busyness and agitation and whatever demands are on your shoulders there, then. It's a beautiful thing because if you use it as a skillful means to remind yourself there is a realm that is more peaceful and that realm exists in my own mind independent of that outside world. Huh? If you really find a realm inside your own mind that is beautiful enough where you love to hang out and you're not dependent on outside circumstances, great, well done. Huh? Stupid, it is obviously stupid to get negative with the duties and the outside business we have to perform. Huh? In that way, if we think negative in that way, again, we're going to destroy the beautiful states that we have established in our minds and in our meditation over the long run. Huh? So to have that perspective that I have that escape in my meditation, but and then that's where I charge my batteries, and that's when I'm reloading, and then I take that energy outside again for the duties that I have to perform. But the mind has to stay as positive as it can in the meditation world and also in the outside world, because otherwise sooner or later there will be discrepancy between the two, if you don't manage that, and then it's either the meditation is gonna suffer. So please don't get negative in the outside. Just see that as a challenge and put the good stuff that you have in your meditation, take that out with you, share that. Huh? Bring a bit more calmness, kindness out there. It's well appreciated.
Is it possible to attain jhana while lying on your back, or typically sitting cross-legged?
Oh, I think it's definitely possible. It's the if the mind has enough energy already when you do meditation on your back, but I know that for myself that if my mind is energized already, I don't fall asleep when I lie on my back. It's a very nice posture to completely relax, and also that safety. Often, if we're not used to sit cross-legged or on a chair, there's even a sort of resistance that's completely let go of the body because we don't know where it's going to go when the control is lost over the body. So, is the danger is obviously that there's not enough energy and it goes into a drowsy state. Huh? But sometimes it's for me, especially in a meditation retreat, when I do something that I do sitting before, and I just feel it's too uncomfortable after a while sitting, but I have enough energy and then I can definitely meditate on my back, actually.
Thanks, Bhikkhu.
Would it be possible to meditate not on your breath, but on some other, like for example, the word peace or happiness, instead of focusing on breathing?
Oh, absolutely. So many different methods you can use, you know. The breath is just one thing that you had, basically, where the influence can stop very nicely. Because the body does that if you're sleeping, if you get even unconscious. It's a lizard brain function, the breath. Huh? So it's going to continue. And when all the manipulation of the mind is peaceful enough, it's very nice to relax into that. But before that, or even if you get agitated with the breath, if you have the feeling there's too much control there or whatnot, take it away to something else nice. Yeah, make peace. Or just in that, what I often try with people to really. I mean, this whole loving kindness thing is not a thought, it's a feeling, you know? If you can establish that feeling already, this well-wishing towards yourself, this being at ease in that moment with yourself, you can just focus on that. You can just take any input that comes from the outside and try to watch that through that feeling. Huh? If it's a disturbing noise or if it's, like Ajahn Ram gave a talk recently about listening with kindness. Huh? So this whatever happens, this the mind washes out with that kindness and you just focus on that. And if that gets strong, it can be very powerful. And it's also so beautiful that the mind likes to stay there. Obviously an object which is boring after a while or doesn't have enough meaning for us, the mind can slip away, same as with the breath. Huh? So you can change the object and just the more beautiful, the more interesting it is, the more the mind will be inclined to stay with that object. Huh? Yeah?
Maybe not so much a jhana state, but could one, in following through from using a different tool, could one achieve that stillness through movement, albeit gentle movement?
I mean, definitely. I mean, there comes obviously a stage in meditation where the body is gone. That's where people try to reach that state when there's real letting go of the body is happening. First there's a still blissful state, but then the body is gone. Obviously you cannot do that if you're still moving the body, but that doesn't mean anything. Because if you do yoga or if you do relaxation or Feldenkrais or whatever you do, it can just be such a great tool to allow the mind to get in a comfortable position, because we associate bodily discomfort with mental discomfort so much. Huh? If we have agitation, if we're too tense in the body, it's almost impossible to relax the mind as well. Huh? So just using the body as the skillful means to bring the mind in a more relaxed state, and into a calmer state, even into a non-thinking space, which is great already. Huh? And then one might reach a state where the body is so comfortable you can just lay it down, actually, and the mind is happy and peaceful there. Huh? Stuff like that. But obviously, look after your body, and if you find any sort of exercises helpful, calming the mind, great, beautiful. Huh? So are you all happy enough to die now? That's a good question in the meditation. I like that actually, because I mean, don't know how much all of you are Buddhists, but the moment of death is an important moment. That's basically the mind state we're going to take with us, where the we look on the other side with that mind state. And just, not just in the meditation, that is a reminder we can have, but also in our daily life. It takes so much importance away from the petty little things. And just, what mindsets do I want to die, and how agitated is it worth to be, or this or that? And we know death is on our shoulder, can touch us at any time. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Just have no fear, just have a little smile on your face actually, and just, yeah, I'm ready. Go ahead. That's the mindset I want to die in. Just so kind to yourself, it's just like, yeah, that's all right now. And I hope you manage that in your meditation, just to remind yourself of that mind state. If the mind is still agitated, then just having enough kindness to say, right mind, now you're agitated. That's totally all right. Doesn't have to be a perfect mind. Just to remember that attitude that you can add in any moment to be ready, and just give it a smile. Okay, leave you with that. Thanks very much.